Welcome to Think Like an Integrator, a podcast for business visionaries who love to dream but lack a team to do it all. I'm your host and integrator, Kat Schmoyer. When you know how to integrate, you will always be able to innovate. I'm here to tell you how. Welcome to the show. Hey, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Think Like an Integrator podcast. I always get so excited when I do episodes with my clients. So you guys are in for it. Today is such a fun one. I like teed that up so well, I hope. I've been so excited to get Anna on the podcast. I had to postpone our original recording date. So finally getting her over here. But actually, I think the timing and like this time of year is perfect for what we're going to talk about with Anna. So before we like get way too far like down the rabbit hole that I really want to go down on all of Anna's expertise and everything that we're going to be sharing with you guys today, Anna, would you just introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. And Kat, thank you so much. It is such an honor to join you for a conversation on your show. So my name is Anna Dearman-Cornick. I'm a time management coach and I'm host of It's About Time, a podcast sharing stories and strategies to inspire better work-life balance. I launched the podcast back in December 2019, and it's so hard to believe that we're fast approaching our 250th episode. It's wild. And so across those 250 episodes, I have had the joy and discomfort of writing a book. I am also the author of Time Management Essentials, the tools you need to maximize your attention, energy, and productivity. And that book was such a labor of love, but also such a dream come true at the same time. I put so much of just the good and the bad and all of the things into that book. I also love speaking about time management. You can find me on a stage holding a microphone, talking about time management and trying to make it as fun and not boring as possible. I love doing that as often as I can. And then when I'm not working and doing time management related things, I am a mom. I'm a mom to Camilla and Elizabeth, my precious 5-year-old and 3-year-old girls. Muffin is our cute, fluffy white dog. And we all live in Louisiana with my husband, Scott, who also owns his own business.
You guys aren't busy at all. Like you have nothing going on personal side, right? On the personal side with the girls in those ages. Like I understand those ages like so well.
Yeah.
Plus speaking and like you travel all over the country to speak all
yes.
over.
Yes, I actually was invited to speak in Alaska back the first week in August, and that amazing. Was such a whirlwind and an amazing opportunity and just so much fun. I'm so grateful for the opportunities that I have to travel and pour into people so that they can spend their time with more intention.
I love it. I love it. And so as you guys are listening to this, hopefully you can hear like how, first of all, how awesome Anna is. So we're going to make sure that we're linking like her podcast. You can start listening to her on a regular basis if you don't already. But also how necessary what Anna's expertise is, how helpful it is for us. As you guys know, like I'm an integrator. So I like very much love what Anna talks about because my brain thinks in like a Trello board and a calendar and like some of those time management tools that you can use to streamline your to-dos and your tasks and things like that. But I know that not everybody listening thinks like that. And I'm not an expert on time management. Anna is the expert on time management. So she's totally going to school me in this episode on how we can find time. But specifically for all of you guys listening, like I really wanted to zero in with Anna on how do we find time as busy visionaries mm-hmm. who have so many different passions. And one of those passions being a digital product business. And Anna, like that's you too. Like you have the digital side. That's why you're one of our clients. Like we get to work with you on your funnels in the back end. So how for you, how does that all work together? Like the busy services and the traveling and also growing and scaling digital products.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I feel like answering that question would probably take me 2 full days because it's a lot. You know, when it comes to creating a digital product in your business, a lot of us do that because we start out by offering services. And whether we experience a change in our life or a change in our priorities, we want to maybe step back from the one-on-one work or the service-based work and, you know, the term passive income is so funny. It's more like leveraged income. We want to find a way to, you know, scale our knowledge and our expertise. And the thing that's really tough about that is that in order to have the time and the brain space to create that digital product, that leveraged scalable offer, you've got to create time for it. You have to shift the way that you're currently spending your time in order to carve out the time to work on that digital product, or else we'll always continue to say, oh, well, I would love to do that, but I don't have enough time. Right. I'm too busy serving clients one-on-one. I don't have enough time to create a digital product. And so there are a lot of different ways that you can go about creating that time. You can delegate those things that you really don't need to be doing. You know, it is always so mind-blowing when I do this exercise with my clients to determine what's in their genius zone. You know, what are the things that they are great at doing? They're passionate about doing these things. They're skilled at them. And to discover just how much time they're spending on things that they don't enjoy doing, that they are not good at, especially when they have the means to outsource in terms of hiring an integrator or hiring a virtual assistant or getting social media help. And so delegating is one way that you can get some of that time back. But one of the most effective ways to start carving out time for a digital product is to think about that digital product time like a boulder in our schedules. Okay, so what does that mean? So when I teach priorities, I like to think about priorities, those things that are most important to us, in three categories instead of just one category that means important. Because a lot of times when we hear priorities, we're like, well, everything on my to-do list is a priority or it's also a priority beyond there, right? Mm-hmm. But the thing is that there are different types of priorities. I think we can agree that, you know, scheduling social media into our social media tool is important or else our message won't get out there. But drafting a presentation to give in a membership that where you might meet new potential clients, that's also important. But those two things are not one and the same. And so I like to think about priorities in terms of boulders, big rocks, and pebbles. Boulders being those things in our lives and our work that are important, but they're not urgent. And a lot of times creating a digital product falls in that boulder category. It's important to us, but it's not urgent. And because it's not urgent, we tend to kind of kick the can down the road a little bit. We tell ourselves, oh, well, I'll do that when I have time. And it's because our schedule tends to be full of big rocks and pebbles. So big rocks, these are the things in our life and our work that are both important and urgent. This is that one-on-one call with a client. This is delivering the photo gallery after the wedding. This is creating the itinerary for the conference that you're planning. It's the core work that you do. It's project-based. It's time-based. It's probably a lot of the moving pieces that Kat, you and your team are helping your clients coordinate, those big rock projects. And the biggest thing to remember is these are the things that move the needle. They get you closer to your vision for your business. They get you closer to reaching your goals, whether it's your income goals or your impact goals. And then the third type of priority, these are our pebbles. And these are all of the little bitty, not super important, not super urgent things that have to be done. Things like we said, loading our social media scheduler, or approving a timesheet, or paying your quarterly taxes. You know, all of those things that don't really move the needle on our goals, but they have to be done. And so when we think of our digital products, our work on our digital products as a boulder, and we put those boulders in our calendar first, we're able to hold space for them before all of the urgency of the big rocks and the pebbles start taking over.
I love that analogy. It also makes me think of then the boulder still feels so big, right? Like it's like, oh, launch that course or host that live webinar. You know, like there's so many, I'm like, oh my goodness, like that's huge. But I'm thinking just putting myself in that visionary seat. And when we're thinking about digital products, you know, some of those initial things, or maybe you're relaunching or whatever, like they feel like boulders. So do you feel like you have to kind of chip away at them to make them rock, like to make them small enough to then be like, okay, let me like actually like digest this and like have the time to do it. What would you say to that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Because, you know, when we think about, you know, let's say launching a course. Yeah. That's not exactly something that you put on your to-do list. Launch course. Because then it would stay on your to-do list for like a year.
Forever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
We have to break things down into smaller pieces. And one thing that I've learned, so I'm a time management coach and I'm also a credentialed Myers-Briggs practitioner. So if you are a Myers-Briggs girl and you're like, yeah, I'm an ENTP or an ISFJ, like if you're familiar with the Myers-Briggs, I have all of my time management coaching clients, I invite them to take the Myers-Briggs assessment whenever we first start working together. Because one thing that I have learned is that some of us are incredibly, it's natural for us to break things down into smaller pieces. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that we think. It is natural. And it's just an inborn part of who you are. But then there are others who really struggle to break things down into smaller pieces. They can see the end product. They can see all the possibilities, but taking it from an idea into the day-to-day can be really difficult because that's just right. Not the way that they think. And you might be listening right now thinking, oh, well, I'm definitely this one or I'm definitely that one. Or you might be like me where I fall kind of in the middle. And I, like Kat knows this, I can think very conceptual, big picture. And I can, for the most part, break things down into smaller pieces, but then sometimes I get lost in the details or sometimes I think too big picture. And so it's like kind of the step one is knowing yourself and knowing how mm-hmm. you think and knowing the type of support that you need to help you break things down into smaller pieces or to get out of the weeds or to think bigger picture so that right. you are getting a well-rounded view of what it is that you're working toward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think when we're doing that, we have to kind of going back to when you said delegation, like we have mm-hmm. to know like, okay, so then when I'm breaking down all of these small steps or if I'm going to a business coach to help me, you know, kind of break down these steps or whatever it is, however you're getting the project plan, essentially, you're right. getting a project plan. So then being realistic on, can you do uh-huh. every single thing or do you need to delegate and being able to know the difference mm-hmm. And not put way too much on your plate mm-hmm. to have then unrealistic goals of when you're going to be able to do the thing mm-hmm. you said you wanted to do.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know this, Kat. My eyes are bigger than my stomach. So like, yes. you know, whenever you're at a buffet yeah. or like a yeah. family reunion and you like heap your plate with all of this stuff, my eyes are bigger than my like calendar or like my to-do list. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us are guilty of this. We see all of these things and we think, oh yeah, I can do this. I can handle this one. I can do this piece. Don't worry about this. I can do that. Don't worry about that. I got it. When in reality, like we don't have time. We don't have the capacity to take on all of those things. And sometimes that's a little bit of trial and error and absolutely. Making the mistakes once or twice so you don't make it again. But letting go can be tough.
It can, because there's like a control factor to that. There's a fear factor to that. Like we're speaking right now to small business owners. So you guys listening to this, like it's your baby. Like this is your business. Like this is, yeah. you've poured so much into this. And now all of a sudden there's only one of you and there's this big old business that you need to love and serve and clients and other dreams. And you need to find people to come alongside you, mm-hmm. whether that is like an integration agency, whether that's an amazing VA, an employee, a podcast editor, like start small. You don't have to yeah. like shoot for the moon with all of these things, but finding people that you really trust to come alongside you to help you get the things done.
Yeah. And you know, Kat, I don't know if you encounter this, but I find that guilt sometimes is also something that can hold us back from delegating. Like we don't mm-hmm. want to put that on somebody like, oh, I don't want you to have to do that really boring task that I hate doing. Right. So I'll just do it when who knows, maybe you love doing that really boring task.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I also, it's so funny you said that because today actually I have a client who's doing multiple live webinars. And so we have, you know, kind of a pre-workflow right before those webinars begin. We have a post-webinar workflow for all of them. And one of them is this evening. And she said, like, you don't have to worry about it, Kat. Like, it's going to be at like 9 o'clock at night. And I'm like, you hired me for live, like, this is within the scope of, like, no, I'm going to be, you know, so I think that's so spot on that it's just that, no, I got it. Like, it's fine. I'll shoulder it. Like, no, actually, like, other people want to do it for you. Yeah.
I am definitely guilty of the guilt one sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, you don't have to do that. No, it's fine.
Yeah. I'll feel that sometimes, even with my own team. I'll be like, who wants to go do Show It Mobile right now? And then I like feel guilty because no one really wants to go in and like organize Show It Mobile. It's right. Like, you know, the hot mess of the projects. Uh-huh. And that's why I feel slightly guilty. But I'm like, what I need, like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It is what
it
is.
Oh, my goodness. So, okay. Anna, with all of that, like with the guilt that you have felt or the fear that you have felt, or you we're putting it all on you. You're like in the hot seat right now.
I'll take it.
There we go.
I've been there.
All the things, all the ways that you have felt about growing the digital side of your brand and finding the time to do that. Like, I'd love to hear, like, how have you genuinely found the time to balance, which I don't know, that's a touchy word. Yeah, balance is a weird word, but like, how do you find the time with the rhythm of the services as well as the growing digital product side?
Yeah, so it has been super easy and everything has gone perfectly from day one.
Great. So the podcast episode is over.
Right. No, I'm kidding. Obviously. It's really hard. Like, I'm not like, you can't sugarcoat it. Like, it is hard. Anytime that you are adding a digital product to your business, you are introducing a brand new business model into your business. You're introducing something brand new and it takes time and it takes thought. And so my process, the way that I've handled it, even as a time management coach, you need to know it's not perfect. Cause even though I am a time management coach, like, I'm in the trenches, I'm still navigating life as a mom with a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old and a growing business and a husband that owns a business and coaching and traveling and podcasting and speaking and all those things. But the way that I try to approach it is by using those boulders, big rocks and pebbles to guide my decision-making when I'm planning a week. So I am a huge proponent of having an ideal week, a winning week, whatever it is you want to call it, but essentially creating a template for how you will spend your time each week. And I do this on a cyclical basis. I have what I call a coaching week, which is an ideal week that is mapped out to hold as many coaching calls as I can, basically as will fit in my calendar. And then the opposite weeks are content weeks. So I'll have a coaching week and a content week. And each one of those weeks has a template that includes, you know, one-on-one coaching calls. These are my slots for one-on-one coaching calls. These are the slots that I have available for podcast interviews. These are the slots that I meet with my team on. And so it's this recurring like template of a week, essentially. And in each of these weeks, I like to allocate time or space for special projects is kind of the way that I look at it. Because there are certain things that are always happening in my business. I'm always launching a podcast episode. I am always keeping up with the status of my speaking engagements. I am always meeting with my team and creating content and doing all of those things. But I like to incorporate 1 to 2 special projects per quarter and have time dedicated in my week to working on those special projects. And so what that does is it gives me set aside time each week before the urgencies of the boulders or of the big rocks and the pebbles start to take away all of your time. Because the thing is that if you don't carve out that time at the beginning, it's going to get zapped up. You don't say with whatever time I have left, then I'll do it. No, you have to you have to hoard that time from the beginning.
Yeah.
And so that's special project time. And so whatever special project I am working on in that quarter, those time blocks on my calendar are dedicated to that special project. Sometimes you break your wrist unexpectedly in the middle of a major project and have to completely rethink the way that you're spending your time. I actually broke my wrist back in April. And so I'm coming up on, I guess it's been 6 months, April, May, June, July, August, September. Yeah, I'm just about a month shy of 6 months since I broke my wrist. And all of that special project time that was set aside just kind of went up in smoke. And so that's proof. Like, you can make the best plans in the world,
right,
and then something will change and something will happen. And so I'd say that how I have done it is by having special project time carved out, but also having a really trusted team in place and a pretty clear vision about what I wanted in order to still execute on the projects. But the project wouldn't happen. The course wouldn't launch. The thing wouldn't come into reality if it weren't for A, setting aside time, and B, having a team to help make it happen.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember it's not this way now, just with the nature of how my business is at this point, but it used to be that I had batch days. And so rather than like you know, with different weeks, those ideal weeks and that kind of allotted rhythm in place, like I did it every week. Like, it was my Monday through Friday, and I had that batch theme essentially for each of those days. Some of those days were client focused, some of those days were content focused, but Thursdays was, I call them my quarterly goal day. And so that was the day where I kind of a project day, where is the goal digital product? Okay, great. Is the goal a survey? It doesn't really matter. It's whatever I had deemed was like the goal that I needed to be focusing on. And so I had a weekly time set aside where I would check my inbox first thing in the morning, and then I would close the Gmail tab, which is like so hard for some people to do. They're like, nope, close it out, and then give myself several hours of time on that project.
I love that. And I love that you said that, because that's something that I really want to move back to. I noticed that, and this is probably so visionary of me, I'll get really excited about something and I'll be like, we need to pitch 45 podcasts. And so we'll send out all of these podcast pitches. And then I'm like, we're doing too many podcasts. I need to take a break. And so it just, like, because I realized, like, oh, this grand idea that I had is now eating up all of my extra time that I had set aside for doing XYZ. And it's just constantly trying to keep yourself in check. You know, I find that revisiting your goals on a regular basis is a really good way to do that. But you have to have goals in order to revisit the goals. So it's kind of like, if you back it all up, it all ties back. It all goes back to having clear goals about what you want in a given year or a given quarter. So that you have something to stay on track toward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you have some really incredible goal setting, just resources, I guess, is like the what you would call them, if that's what you call them. I feel like they are. Yeah. They're like just really great resources for goal setting. So I'm going to like put a plug in for that, because we're almost at the end of the year. And so that is, I mean, that should be top of mind all year long, but I know it's specifically top of mind when you're wrapping up a year and then kind of jumping into the next one. It for those of you that do feel like you need that, like, shut the door to open the next one, like you need that sort of bookend, now would be a great time to like start thinking about that, so that you can create those ideal weeks, create those rhythms that feel the best for you, for your business, for your family, for your goals, because you have goals in the business in the first place.
Yeah. And you know, Kat, we talked about having those boulders within your week to work on your digital products or you know, whatever those special projects are. Another way to think about boulders is within the context of your year. You know, one thing that I do personally, and I work with my clients on doing, I even host the big picture year planning party, because everything's more fun when you call it a party, right? Where we literally map out our entire year. And that includes, okay, what days are you doing quarterly planning? What days are you setting aside as, you know, I like to call it a quarterly and a day. Every single quarter, I give myself a day to just relax and decompress and do something just for me. And if we wait and give ourselves the time that's left over for quarterly planning or for that quarterly self-care day, it's not going to magically appear. It's going to get zapped up.
So true, because it's the first thing that goes when we are feeling inundated with other projects or other things that, and maybe they are time sensitive, y'all. Like, that's the thing. Like, I didn't prep you with this question, Anna, but I'm just going to like throw it out there, because I feel like we have that relationship and it'll be good. Like in April when you broke your wrist, we were in the middle of a massive project, or not even in the middle. We'd really just kind of started this massive funnel project, not to mention all the other things. You know, like we don't touch the speaking and services side of your brand. Mm-hmm. We were focusing on the digital product, but I know we were in the middle of it. Tell me, for us, like you just outsource more to it, not just, but like you were like, okay, Kat, like here's all of these things that you thought you were going to have on your to-do list for the project that now our team was doing. Yes. But like mentally, how did you process through like plan B, C, D, like all of these plans you didn't think you were going to have to do?
Oh my gosh, that was one of the wildest things ever. Because you know, I can be a little bit of a control freak about things as I'm working on it. But
you're doing great. You're doing great.
Thank you. But it really turned into, you know, my mission as a time management coach is to help people spend time on what matters most. And in this situation, if we're thinking big picture, I had to think, okay, what matters most right now? And what truly matters most is that I give myself the space to heal. I mean, I had a major wrist fracture, multiple fractures, shattered a bone somewhere, like had surgery less than a week later, and I now have a plate and screws and all kinds of crazy stuff in my wrist that I never imagined, had never broken anything before. And I just knew that I could not continue for life to move as quickly as it had been. Because leading up to that point in April, I was blowing and going. Like the day before, I had been in Nashville speaking to a group of attorneys. Earlier that week, I was somewhere else. And I was working with your team to launch this product, this digital product. And I had the podcast going. And we're heading into May, which is the busiest season of the year for parents of little kids. We had a pre-K graduation coming up. And I knew that my priorities had to be healing, which is not, I mean, that's like major rest.
Right. Absolutely.
Being there for my family, being there for ballet recital and, you know, pre-K graduation and all of those things, and not being there as a shell of myself who was exhausted from trying to take on too much with a broken wrist. I also knew that if I continued to not let go of control, that the whole project was going to fall apart because I couldn't type. I couldn't design things and just show it. Like I literally couldn't. Like my hand was forced. I had to give it up or it wasn't going to happen. And then I'd say like, in terms of what's most important, if it's me healing so that I can be there for my family, I still really wanted to hit that goal of launching this thing on May 29th. Like that's my birthday. I like launching things on my birthday, whatever. It's silly.
It was so fun.
But it's fun. I really wanted to make it happen. And so I was like, okay, I've got to not only give up the things that I was planning to do, but I've got to figure out a new way to communicate about this. Your team has probably never listened to so many voice notes from Slack from a person while they were driving down the road. Maybe so, I don't know. But I just had to completely change up how I operated. And it was exhausting because it was a lot of decision making, kind of not on the fly, but at the same time it was quick decision making. It was we've got to pivot, we've got to figure out how we're gonna make this happen. And what kept happening as I would let go of something and then see your team's work product, I was like, why have I waited until breaking my wrist to give up some of these things? Because Kat's team has done such a better job on this than I would have ever done by holding on to these things. And so it was such an important lesson for me to learn in relinquishing control, but also like keeping in mind what's most important and figuring out, okay, if this is going to happen, how are we going to make it happen? Let me actually rely on my team to execute. And boy, did they. They did.
Yeah. I think it's so true, Anna, when you say like your hand was forced. But I think that's if I look back at my own life and outsourcing in my own brand, and I have an agency, like I have 13 employees, like I understand the importance of delegating and outsourcing, but like I am still kind of a control freak. Like my team will be like, Kat, like let it go. So I understand, you know, and when I look back at my own business history, And the, like my very first time outsourcing, like kind of walking through that, it was absolutely in situations where there was no other option. You know, like it was like, if I'm going to keep going, this is literally what I have to do. And not that I wish that on anybody listening to this, like we don't want you to like break a bone or like have something awful happen, you know, in your family life or anything like that. But I do think that it's telling for both you and I, Anna, like our testimony in this is that like it actually paid off. Like, look at us now. Like, it worked to let people in. Now, I'm sure you and I have both had situations where we've outsourced and it's fallen flat, right? Like, not everybody's perfect. There's been human error that has happened. There's been personality fits that weren't a good fit or systems that didn't work like we thought. Yeah. Like, so there, it's not to say like, go hire the next person you find. Like, there's a strategy to bringing in and like growing your team. But I want this to be like a confidence booster, I guess, for those of you guys listening that are on the fence about outsourcing. Mm-hmm. And this isn't even a pitch for the agency. I'm just telling you in general, you can't do it alone. And I don't want you to feel like you're on an island trying to do it alone. Mm-hmm. I want you to feel confident and like learn from Anna's broken wrist scenario that like sometimes it really does pay off to lean into a little tribe of people around you.
Yeah, 100%. Outsourcing seems really hard and scary until you take the leap and you do it. And even that first or second time, it might not go completely as planned. My very first VA did not go completely as planned. Looking back, that it was a me problem, not a her problem. You know, you live, you learn, you try again, you keep going.
Right. Managing people is a true art. Like it takes different parts of your brain. And like we all just said, like we're all control freaks, or at least Anna and I are control freaks. So some of the live and learn was absolutely on me too of like, nope, here's how to manage. here's how to process all of this, to train a team well. There's a whole system to it, which I feel like that's like a whole other episode at some point.
Yeah. But so much. Like as a business owner, you have your thing, whether it's photography or wedding planning or coaching or whatever that is. But then there's also the running of a business, and there's also the leading of people. And
absolutely,
it's so much more than just doing your thing.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Okay, this has been so good. I'd love to like wrap up, Anna. I want to ask, you gave us so much good stuff in this episode, but I would love to ask for somebody who's listening to this and they like are feeling the weight of not having enough time literally today, like right now. What is an action step or what is something they can do right now to help them feel like they have a better handle on time in their business?
Yeah, sure. If you are feeling that literally right now, I want you to grab a piece of paper, blank sheet of paper, lines, no lines, doesn't matter. Draw a line down the middle, vertical, up and down, and then draw a line across the middle, left and right. So now you've got four quadrants. Literally does not matter how you label these quadrants, where you put these words, but one of them is must do, then should do, then could do, then want to. So you've got must do, should do, could do, want to. And I want you to take all the stuff that's swimming around in your head right now, the things that are making you feel overwhelmed, and put them into one of those four categories. Because not every single thing that is swimming around in your head is a must do. Sometimes you have things in your head that you feel obligated to do, that you should do, that would be great, that would get you the A+. Sometimes there are things that you just want to do, like, I don't know, read templating your website for the sixth time. Do you really need to do that? And then there are the things that you could do. And so once you've got that list, take a look at what's in that must-do list. Focus on that. Just put a big circle around it. Focus on that. And just let the rest of it go for now. Because when you feel overwhelmed, if you can just focus on what you must do and knock out one to two of those things, it's going to give you the motivation and the clarity to keep going. Mm-hmm.
I need to save this little snippet for the next time that I feel overwhelmed in my own business. Be like, what were the quadrants? Like, give me that piece of paper.
I should make a notepad.
Like, you should. I would buy it. It's so great. Like, brain dump, get it out and organize it in a way that then helps you feel like, well, what can be accomplished right now? And how can you take a step forward right now? A small step. It doesn't have to be, don't put launch the course in one of those quadrants right now. Like, we're talking small steps.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Small steps.
I love it. So helpful, Anna. Thank you so much for all of this today. Where can everyone go to connect with you?
Yeah, so I would love for you to check out my podcast. It's About Time. You can just, you know, hop over in the podcast app that you're listening to right now and just go ahead and click follow. So next time I have an episode go live, it'll just automatically be there waiting for you. Okay. But I have new episodes that go live every Monday. And if you are feeling overwhelmed with life, with business, with all the things, and you want to check out what Kat's team helped me put out into the world on May 29th, head over to blueprinttobalance.com and you'll get access to my free course called Blueprint to Balance, which is all about making getting out of overwhelm less overwhelming.
So good. So good. Thank you, Anna. We're going to link everything in show notes. We're also going to link your book because I want everybody to be able to take a peek at that. Yeah. And as always, I just appreciate you and I'm excited. We have a team call soon. So I'll be seeing you, on that soon.
See you in 5 minutes.
Yes. Thanks, Anna.
All right,
everyone. Thank you guys so much for listening and we'll be back next week with another episode.